Great. Good evening, everyone. Gemar Sima Tova. We continue with our very long day of davening and learning here at Yeshiva. The highlight event tonight, the Hausman Stern Kinnis Tshuva lecture, which is given here, as well as in Yerushalayim. It was given in Yerushalayim by Rav David Miller Shlita. The lectures were established in the 80s by Gerson and Judith Hausman, Zichronam Livracha, in memory of their parents, Elias J. and Mary Stern, and Moshe and Chava Hausman. It's always a great pleasure to be able to host members of the family here for the lecture year after year. I want to welcome Dr. Miriam Hausman, Dr. Evelyn Jakobovics, her daughter, Dr. Barry Krause, and Jane Senior, and everyone else who's come here for the lecture tonight. We have the pleasure this year to hear from Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, and I want to take a moment to welcome Rabbi Ezra's parents, and your mom is here upstairs, I assume? Oh, mom is there. Excellent. Good. You want to welcome the Schwartzes? Welcome. You should get a lot of nachas. And to welcome Rabbi Yitzberger and Dr. Dietzberger here as well. This year, we have the pleasure of hearing Rabbi Schwartz, who is a double musmach of the yeshiva, Yore Yore Yadin Yadin, has many other degrees from Yeshiva University. He is, of course, a Rosh Yeshiva here, as well as the associate director of the Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Smicha program. And as such, in his administrative role, he plays a tremendous role in moving forward all of the halacha pieces of the Smicha program, all of the kolim, getting to know the fellows, and he's done a wonderful job. I get to work with him very closely in that capacity. He is also, in his spare time, the senior rabbi of the Mount Sinai Jewish Center on the other side of the Heights, as well as a father and a husband, and somehow has had the time, with everything else going on, to put together this lecture. So it's my pleasure to call upon for this year's Hausman Stern Kinnis Tshuva Drasha, Rabbi Ezra Schwartz.
I, first of all, just want to thank Rabbi Penner, both for this opportunity to give the shiur tonight, and for having confidence in me in terms of trying, as Rabbi Penner says, to move the Smicha program forward. Our yeshiva is really a wonderful place. We're doing extraordinary things, and I'm fortunate and blessed to be a part of it. I have to admit that one of my first memories here in yeshiva, when I was still a student, I think it was only a few days after I began. There are some years when we do not have a full month of yeshiva before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and just a few days after I began here as a student, there was a Hausman Stern Kinnis Tshuva lecture. That must have been in 1993-94, was my first year here. I believe Rabbi Harlap gave the lecture that year, and Rabbi Israel Miller, Zichrono Livracha, introduced him by speaking about how today is Yom Hadin, which was a true Rabbi Millerism. And I have to admit that the Tshuva lectures not only are core to what we are as a yeshiva, everyone older than me certainly remembers Rav Soloveitchik giving Tshuva drushes, but the Tshuva drusha has been mimicked in so many communities, and it's really thanks to you and your continued involvement that so much Torah about tshuva is being spread, and so many people are thinking deeply about how to experience these Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The topic I chose to speak about tonight is the link between teshuva and tefillah, the link between repentance and prayer. And it's really striking when you think about it. Right now we're in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, 10 days of repentance. So you would assume that we'd have something to do to help us repent. I would assume that Chazal would be creative enough to mandate some time of reflection, some time for introspection, time to think, or maybe to require that we would study particular texts that would inspire us to do tshuva. But that's not what we do. the real core of Aseres Yimei Tshuva is that we daven. We begin every day quite early in the morning with slichos. Not only do we begin with slichos, but our tefillah is elongated. We have additions in Shemona Esrei, Avinu Malkeinu. Not only that, but the slichos themselves mimic tefillah. At least I should say slichos in the Eastern European Jewish tradition. In my role as rabbi on the other side of the Heights, there are a number of German Jews there. And when I mentioned that slichos obviously begins with Ashrei, they pointed out, no, it starts with Adon Olam. I never heard this. Actually, I probably did hear this as a kid when we davened in the Yakish Shul, but I have no recollection of this. But in the Eastern European Jewish tradition, slichos mimics Tfilas Mincha. You begin with Ashrei, then you have a Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, which is a Shemona Esrei. You finish off with Tachanun. So what we are doing is we daven. And then when we're done davening, we daven some more, and then we daven some more, and we daven some more. And what does tefillah have to do with tshuva? Why is it that we spend the time of Aseres Yimei Tshuva involved so much in davening? Now, if I'd be cynical, which of course I'm not, but were I to be cynical, I would say that maybe we daven so much because basically we know that if we daven a lot, we'll have no time to do averos. We'll have no time for sins. And maybe by waking up so early in the morning, what happens is we're just too tired to sin. Perhaps that's the idea. But I'm assuming, and that's why we have a lecture tonight, I'm assuming that the link between teshuvah and tefillah runs much deeper. The first possible solution that I'd like to give is based on a comment of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, of course, is the author of the classic work on Tshuva, the Shaarei Tshuva. There is a tradition that Rabbeinu Yonah authored the Shaarei Tshuva as a way of doing Tshuva himself for his involvement in the burning of the Rambam's books during the Maimonidean controversy. If I'm not mistaken, my brother-in-law's father, Dr. David Berger, told me that Gidon Rothstein once wrote a paper trying to show that this is not correct, that in fact the Shaarei Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah has no connection to the burning of the Rambam's works during the Maimonidean controversy. But be it as it may, the Shaarei Tshuva is the classic work on Tshuva. And in Sha'aral of the Shaarei Tshuva, he tells us, how do you go about doing Tshuva? And what are the components of Tshuva? What's essential? What are the necessary parts of doing Tshuva? And Rabbeinu Yonah, in that list, he gives us Ha'ikar HaChamisha Asar, the 15th essential or necessary component of tshuva. Zakt Rabbeinu Yonah, what it is HaTfilah. You daven. Davening for Rabbeinu Yonah is an essential part of tshuva. You should daven to Hashem, he writes, Yispal HaHashem, Yivakesh Rachamim, L'chaper Eskol Avonosav. You dive into God, you pray to God to atone for all of your sins. And then he plays on the pasuk, Kichuim Achem Dvarim Veshuvu El Hashem. He says, Kichuim Achem Dvarim refers to Vidui, and Imru Elav Kotisa Avon B'Kach Tov is Tefillah. Says Rabbeinu Yonah that Tefillah, prayer, is part of Tshuva. It's a necessary component. Presumably you can't do Tshuva if you don't daven. And I would argue that the reason why we daven so much during this time of year is because we're trying to fulfill the Rabbeinu Yonah. And we understand that I can't do tshuva without davening. I'm praying to Hashem, and if you read the Rabbeinu Yonah carefully, there are three different paragraphs about this. It's paragraph 41, 42, and 43. Rabbeinu Yonah first says that you pray to God to atone for all your sins. Then you pray to God to erase your sins and that God should bring you back in. Apparently there are two different dimensions. One dimension is that the sin should be erased. The second is that yiratsehu, that we should become friendly with God, as it were. Sometimes I can forgive a person, but we're not close again. We don't really connect the same way that we were once linked. We're davening to Hashem that our tshuva should be accepted, And what that means is not just that our sins should be erased, but that we should connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be tight, to be connected the way we were beforehand. Rabbeinu Yonah adds that part of tshuva is that we daven. We daven that Hashem should help us do tshuva. Tshuva is not an easy thing. You need God's help to be able to do it. So Rabbeinu Yonah tells me that tefillah and tshuva are totally connected. There is no way to separate them. And perhaps that's why we daven so much during this Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Now, before we analyze the Rabbeinu Yonah and we try to connect it to the Rambam, again, I think if you speak in this room, you have to talk about the Rambam primarily. If I give a shiur based on the Rabbeinu Yonah, I might lose my job. I don't know. It's dangerous. But when you read the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying a tremendous chiddush. And I saw this was pointed out by Rabbi Eliezer Ginsberg, who is one of the Rashi Kollel in the Mir in Brooklyn. He has a very nice sefer, actually, on Hilchos Tshuva. The advantage of the YU library, by the way, is they have everything. And if you want to research a topic, you just go to that area in the library and you can find anything that you need. So Rabbi Ginsberg, in his work, Va'ata Barachamecha Harabim, he points out that if you're medayik, if you read carefully with Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that we are davening to Hashem, Yispala El Hashem, V'yivakesh Rachamim, L'chaper Es Kol Avonosov, that God should forgive all of your sins. Zucht Rabbi Ginsberg, everyone knows that there are certain sins for which tshuva doesn't help. The Rif has a famous list of the Chafdal Advarim HaMa'akvim Es HaTshuva. The Rambam quotes that list as well. It's not clear exactly where the list comes from. Is it from a Tosefta? Well, we don't have a Tosefta. Is it from one of the Masechtos Ketanos? Well, it's not in our Masechtos Ketanos. The Rambam in the Tshuva writes that the list just comes from culling various sources in Chazal. But there's a list of sins for which tshuva is ineffective. And if you open Kabbalah Svarim, the list is even longer. By the way, this is one of the worst things to tell people. If you want to tell somebody who is really in despair that I did lots of sins, you tell them, oh, you know, the sin that you did, unforgivable. Doesn't work. It's just a really bad idea. Don't talk in those terms. But Rabbeinu Yonah and most Rishonim really speak in all seriousness about the Dvarim HaMa'akvim Es HaTshuva. But says Rabbi Ginsberg, if you're medayik in the Rabbeinu Yonah, he says that I'm praying to God for God to atone all of my sins. And that includes those sins for which tshuva is ineffective. That means that tefillah of tshuva can accomplish something that tshuva itself cannot accomplish. And that is what it does. Now, it happens that there's Reb Kiva Eger who points out in Hilchos Brachos and in Hilchos Tefillah that we ordinarily don't daven for things which are impossible, no? Based on the Mishnayos at the end of Brachos, you can't daven that your wife should give birth to a male child, a female child. You can't, right? It is what it is, right? You can't daven after 40 days at least. Tefillahs for something that's impossible don't work. Nonetheless, apparently, tshuva is not really impossible. Even for these things which are ma'akev tshuva, if you daven, it's going to work. So that's, I think, a nice insight in the Rabbeinu Yonah, and it's certainly worth thinking about. However, if I would want to talk about the Rambam, and I focus on the Rambam's approach to this chiddush, to this insight, regarding those Devarim HaMa'akvim Es HaTshuva, these 24 things that prevent tshuva. So if you read the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Tshuva, he gives up the list of the Devarim HaMa'akvim Es HaTshuva. Some of them are very famous, no? If a person is Machtias HaRabim, a person causes the public to sin, that's Ma'akvim Es HaTshuva. A person says Echtev HaOshuv. A person says, I'm going to sin, and I will then do tshuva. That's Ma'akev HaTshuva. But the Me'iri explains that if a person sins because I get carried away with desire, okay, that's a halbatzara. But if a person makes a calculated decision, Echteva Ashuv, I'm going to sin, and then I'll do tshuva, that makes the sin much worse. That's one of the dvarim that's Ma'akev HaTshuva. If a person is Poresh Min HaTzibur, a person separates himself or herself from the community, that's one of the Dvarim HaMa'akim Es HaTshuva. And the Rambam gives us this whole list of Dvarim HaMa'akim Es HaTshuva. The Rambam breaks the list down into different categories. But, at the very end, and the person who makes this point is actually, there's a work, it's a very fine work by an Adi El Kadri called Hegyonei Tshuva. It came out, this fellow wrote a doctoral dissertation in Hebrew U around 6 or 7 years ago on Hilchos Tshuva and the Rambam. It's really good. It's really good. He says a lot of the Rav Torah in academic terms, which makes it so better in certain quarters. But if you read the Rambam, when the Rambam speaks about the Dvarim HaMa'akim Es HaTshuva, the Rambam has an interesting expression. He writes in Perek Dalet of Tshuva Halacha Vav, Kol Elu HaDvarim Kiyotzei Bahen, Af Api Shema'akvin Es HaTshuva, Einon Mon'in Es HaTshuva. Zok the Rambam, all of these things, they might be Ma'akev Tshuva, but they're not Mon'ea. The difference between Ma'akev and Mon'ea, in Rambam speak, is the difference between delaying and preventing. The Rambam holds that there is nothing that's ma'akev tshuva, in the sense of nothing makes tshuva impossible. It can't be. It can't be. There is nothing. Tshuva works for everything. Eino moneas ha'tshuva. It might be ma'akev. If a person is poresh min hatzibur, a person says echtev ha'ashuv, such a person, it's going to be hard to do tshuva. It won't be easy. Okay. But it's always possible. There is no such thing as tshuva that is impossible for the Rambam. And the way the Rambam says it, he doesn't speak about a need for tefillah in this context. The Rambam speaks about pure tshuva, no tefillah. So this whole chiddush that we're saying within the Rabbeinu Yonah, that, okay, regular tshuva perhaps won't work, but when you have tefillah, it will work, I don't think this is true in the Rambam. I don't think it's true. So, within the Rambam, what we really have to focus on is tefillah, is prayer, a necessary component in tshuva? And there are, again, everyone and his uncle, I would say everyone and his or her uncle, but there are no works yet by women on Hilchos Tshuva that I'm aware of, but everyone and his uncle who wrote about Hilchos Tshuva points out that the Rambam speaks about how there are three ikarim on tshuva. The Rambam speaks about azivas hachet, the Rambam speaks about vidui and charata. You have to leave the sin, you have to feel bad. It's essential to feel bad. And the Rambam also says that you have to have vidui, you have to confess, you have to articulate what you did wrong. That's what the Rambam has regarding tshuva. Those are the only three components of tshuva. And everyone who writes about this, actually there's a nice sefer on tshuva that came out 2 years ago by Rabbi Malkiel Kutler, by the Rosh Hashiva in Lakewood, where, when was the Rebbe and Rachel Kutler Nifter? A year ago? 2 years ago? Fairly recent. He wrote this sefer in her memory, right when she passed away. And Malkiel Kutler points out that obviously the Rambam doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Yonah, because the Rambam doesn't mention prayer as being an ikar, as being a necessary or fundamental component in tshuva. So therefore, this whole idea that we have, that maybe we are davening so much because we need prayer to do tshuva, it doesn't seem to work within the Rambam. So, I would like to argue, and I think in our yeshiva, to argue through Malkiel Kutler, I could get away with it. So, okay. But as long as I have the Mashgiach's permission. So it's okay. Now, the Rambam does have prayer as part of tshuva. But it's not the type of prayer that we usually think of. And it's not the word for prayer that we usually use. The standard word for prayer is tefillah. But the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, I know of three places, the Rambam uses a different word for prayer. The word is tzaka. The word is screaming. Okay, look at the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva in Halacha Dalet. The Rambam writes, Midarkei HaTeshuva, Lios Hashav, Tzo'ek Tamid Lufnei Hashem. One of the paths to doing tshuva is that the penitent, the one who's doing tshuva, should be tzo'ek, should scream to God. He should scream to God, she should scream to God, bebechi betachanunim, with tears, with crying. You should do tztaka, etc. So the Rambam speaks about tzaka. Now, this Rambam alone, I don't think proves very much. You see, when the Rambam talks about darkei hateshuva, these paths to doing tshuva, perek beis halacha dalet, the Rambam might not be speaking about ordinary tshuva. Ordinary tshuva is azivas hachet, charata, and vidui. That's ordinary tshuva. How come the Rambam says that what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to scream, you're supposed to give tzedakah, you're supposed to distance yourself from what you did, you're supposed to change your name? How come? So, there are two approaches. One approach is the Avodas HaMelech, Reb Menachem Karkovsky, the Rav's uncle. And in the Avodas HaMelech, he says that the Rambam really is hinting at all of the components of tshuva that Rabbeinu Yonah has. Right? In Avodas HaMelech, he says that the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah are in complete agreement. That's his approach. But the Lechem Mishnah doesn't take that approach. The Lechem Mishnah in Perek Beis Halacha Dalet writes that Darkei HaTeshuva that the Rambam tells us, Darkei HaTeshuva means if you want to do complete tshuva, you want to do tshuva gemura. Again, to use Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Achronah L'Bracha language, there's teshuva that's repentance, and then there's tshuva that's return. If you want to do complete tshuva to really return to God, not just to repent, so then you have to do all of these things. Now, if that's the case, so then tefillah or tza'aka that the Rambam quotes is not a component of ordinary standard tshuva. So Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, I don't think, proves very much. But there's another Rambam, Perek Beis Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes, Afapi shahatshuva v'atza'oka yafe la'olam, even though it's always good to do tshuva and to scream, v'asura yam shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom Kippurim, that language is very difficult. The 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, if you count on your calendar, this is not so hard, right? Elmo can do it for you. But if you would count, so you would realize that there are not 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, but this is an expression that's found in the Gemara, it's an expression that the Rambam uses. During these 10 days, the Rambam says, so, Teshuvah and Sa'aka is Yafer B'Yoser, Umiskabeles Himiyat. The Teshuvah and the Tza'aka is even nicer, and it's accepted right away. And he quotes the Pasuk of Dirsha Hashem B'Himatz'o. This is only true for a Yachid, for an individual, for a Tzibur. Whenever they scream to God, they're answered right away. Now, what the Rambam is hinting at with this line is that tshuva and sa'aka go together. Tshuva comes as a package with screaming out to Hashem, which we're assuming means some form of prayer to be explained in a minute. So you can't separate them. So tza'aka, and this is regular tshuva, no? Apapisha tshuva v'asaka yafala olam. This isn't just tshuva gemura, this is standard tshuva. The Rambam is saying that even for standard tshuva, tza'aka is part of it. You scream out to God. So what is tza'aka? That's really the question. The question that we're talking about now is not what is the link between tshuva and tefillah. We see that there's a link. Right? The link is that the tefillah helps the tshuva along, like we said. But it's not just regular tefillah. There's something different about it. It's called tza'aka. what is this tzaaka? So I think the best way, and this is something, by the way, that Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, who's an old friend of my father, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, Rav Shiva Malei Adumim in his Yad Pshuta, does this all the time. He points out that the best way to understand the Rambam is from the Rambam. So the Rambam uses the word tzaaka in a few places. The Rambam uses the word tzaaka in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Zayin. The Rambam over there is extolling how wonderful Tshuva is. Kama mu'ula malas ha-tshuva. Tshuva is fantastic. It's amazing. Emesh ha-yozeh muvdal me-hashem alokei Yisrael, shenema avonoseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein alokeichem. Yesterday, this guy was separated from God. He was far away from Hashem. Tzo'ek ve'enonene. He'd scream, and he wouldn't be answered. Shenemar. What's the pasuk? Gam kisabu tefiloi neni shoymeya. That's the pasuk. Right? Yishayo anavi. Chazon. Gam kisabu tefila neni shoymeya. Tzaaka for the Rambam means riboy tfila. That's the taich, that's the translation of the word. So what the Rambam is saying is that the way to do tshuva is exactly what we're doing. The Rambam says he made tshuva. Gam ki tarbu tfila. Right? Before he did tshuva, right? He would be tzoek, he would daven a lot, it wouldn't help. But now, it does help. So tzaaka, the way the Rambam defines the word is based on this pasuk, gam ki sarbu tefila. Tzaaka means davening, and davening some more, and davening some more, and davening nachmer. You daven again and again and again. That's tzaaka for the Rambam. Now, I think this is true, but I think this is only part of the word tzaaka for the Rambam. In Hebrew, generally speaking, those letters that come from the same place in the mouth are interchangeable. So a tzadi and a zayin can be exchanged. I'm sure my brother-in-law will correct me on this afterwards. But a tzadi and a zayin you can replace one with the other. The letters are interchangeable. So tzaaka is the same as zaaka. And the Rambam elsewhere speaks about zi'aka as a component of tefillah, as a component of prayer, and that's in Hilchos Tanios. At the beginning of Hilchos Tanios, and by the way, in some of the versions of the Rambam, you have the word zi'aka. In the older printed versions, you have the word zi'aka with a tzadi. And the Rambam over there writes that there's one mitzvah in Hilchos Tanios, mitzvah esei achas, for who? Litzok lifnei Hashem b'chol es tzara, to scream out to God whenever it's a time of duress, whenever it's a time of difficulty, you scream to God. Right? In Hilchos Tanis Aleph, the same thing. The Rambam writes that during the time of tzara, what you should do is you should be lizok ulahariya b'chatzotros. You should scream out to God and blow the trumpets. That's what the Rambam says. Now, what this really means is that the Rambam is telling me that be'es tzara, we have a different obligation of prayer than we ordinarily have. It's not just prayer, it's tzaaka / prayer. That's what it is. It's screaming out to God. That's what's required at times of difficulty. Now, this is well known because anyone who's been in our yeshiva for more than a couple of weeks has encountered the famous Torah of Rav Soloveitchik about prayer. The Rav pointed out, and this is found in the Rav's work Rayonot al HaTfilah, and now it's in English in Worship of the Heart, and Shalom Karmi in the Orthodox Forum volume about spirituality has a really good article, which is based on an earlier article that Shalom Karmi wrote in Tradition in 1982, elaborating on these themes. But the Rambam basically feels that prayer is do'iraisa. There's a mitzvah asei shel Torah to daven. And the Ramban, Nachmanides, jumps up and down and he spits wood and nickels and he says, we don't know what you're talking about. Prayer is not biblical. It's just not biblical. The Rambam quotes a pasuk that's cited in Tainus Daf Beis, La'ovdo b'chol levavchem, Ezohi avodashi b'leiv, how do you serve God in the heart? Zut fila, that's through prayer. Says the Ramban, no. You're missing out. La'ovdo b'chol levavchem doesn't mean that prayer is required min ha-Torah. The Ramban says that really what the pasuk means is don't serve God on Pascal's wager. Don't serve God because I'm hedging my bets. You know what? I'm not sure. Maybe it's right. Maybe it's not right. Maybe God exists. Maybe he doesn't exist. Zok the Ramban, la'ovdo b'chol levavchem, means, lo shenasa ha-mitzvahs al ha-safek, ulai yesh b'hem to'elas. Don't do mitzvahs as a matter of doubt. Do it because we know it's right. That's what the Ramban says. La'ovdo b'chol levavchem. It's not about prayer. That's the standard approach in the Ramban. And prayer for the Ramban is dirabbanan. It's rabbinic. But then at the very end of the Ramban, he adds a line, which Rav Soloveitchik made really famous. I don't know why this happens. Sometimes there's like one line at the end of a Ramban that the Rav decided becomes standard, right? In terms of krevala arayis. There's one line at the end of the Ramban that the Rav felt, this is the essential part of the Ramban. The Ramban has 30 lines before that. I don't know. But the fact is that the Ramban first says prayer is rabbinic, tefillah d'rabbanan. Then at the very end, the Ramban writes, you know what? And maybe prayer is d'oraisa. And if it's d'oraisa, it's d'oraisa be'es hatzaros. At times of difficulty. So it's well known in this base medrash, it's well known from the Torah of Soloveitchik that tefillah be'es tzara is the oraisa for the Ramban. But that's not what we're speaking about now. Right? For the Ramban, and I'll elaborate on that in a second, but for the Ramban, it's not a question. What we're trying to show is that for the Rambam, tefillah be'es tzara is different than tefillah it's not be'es tzara. Now, the reason I'm not talking about the Ramban, first of all, is because we love the Ramban. Right? We probably love the Ramban also, but yeah, it's not the same as the Ramban. That's one reason. The other reason is, if you read the Ramban carefully, and this is a point I don't think that the Rav emphasized, when you read the Ramban says, you know what's do'iraisa be'es tzara? At times of difficulty, you know what you're obligated by Torah law to do? Zok the Ramban, again, this is in Mitzvah Hey. The Ramban writes, O shenomar shemichlal ha'avoda shenilmo Torah vishenispal al'ilav ve'es hatzaros. The Ramban writes that at times of difficulty, you know what you should do? Darkman learning. Open the Gemara. You learn Torah. That's what you do according to the Ramban. Hey, it would be awesome, by the way. You have Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and what we're supposed to do is learn more Gemara. Learn more. And I think for the Ramban, that will be a fulfillment. But we're not talking about the Ramban now. We're talking about the Rambam. For the Rambam, what we're trying to say is that there is a separate mitzvah of tefillah be'es tzara. And I have a little bit of a proof to this, because there are two different mitzvahs in the Rambam of praying. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Hey, has a mitzvah shetzivon la'avdo yis'ala. There's a mitzvah to pray. And then the Rambam in Mitzvah Nun Tes, the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah to pray be'es tzara when you blow those chatzotzos, when you blow those trumpets. For the Rambam, there are two separate mitzvahs. There's praying be'es tzara, and there's praying as ordinary prayer. Now, what's the difference between these? So, on the basic level, the difference is our feeling, our emotion. But I think we can't ignore the fact that the word se'aka, screaming, shows that there's a different type of prayer. Let me explain. You walk into a shul during Shemona Esrei, usually at least you get 1 minute of pure silence. It's quiet. Davening is quiet. Walking to a shul during Slichus, is it quiet? Vayavor Hashem hapana vayikra. It's cacophonous. They're screaming. Hashem, Hashem, kerachum. They're screaming at each other. Davening is loud during sleepless. Going to a show during the Ela. Right? There's almost not, you can feel the walls shaking. That's tzaukah. Tzaukah means that I daven out loud with a voice, and that's the mitzvah be'es tzara. And I know this because there's a Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer in Perek Memvav. The Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer writes, you know, during the Slichus, we keep on repeating the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Hashem Hashem, and it's not clear, Vayav Hashem Apuna Vayikra, who said it? Is it that God said Hashem Hashem, or is it that Moshe Rabbeinu said Hashem Hashem? No? It depends how you, where you stop. Right? Who said it? So the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer says, first of all, that Moshe, he gives us the whole story, Moshe Rabbeinu is hiding there in the cleft of the rock, and God passes by, and Hisko Moshe Tzoik B'Kol Gadol, and Moshe begins to scream, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanan. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach quotes, they think so this is the source for why Slichus is so loud. It's screaming. It's tzaukah. Because the idea is that since this is an Eis Tzara, this is a time when things are dangerous. Spiritually dangerous is also dangerous. Because things are dangerous, you gotta scream. You gotta bang those doors down. So the first idea that we're trying to put forward is that there's a link between tefillah and tshuva, and that link is not about regular tefillah, but about tzaukah specifically, about screaming, about the eis tzara dimension, and that's why it's so important. However, if we just dig a bit further. We would find that there are a few more differences between teshuvah and, or a few more, I should say, similarities between teshuvah and tefillah. And not only teshuvah of tzaukah, but all teshuvah is similar to tefillah. Rav Amital, in his Sefer Ha'aretz Natan Levnei Adam, Rav Amital points out that most mitzvos which I do the same as any Jew. I pick up a lulav, it's pretty much the same. Now, I might have kavanas for all the tikkuni zayhars and the commentaries of the shlach, kadosh, whatever it is, but the way I pick up the lulav is the same. But the way I daven, the way you daven, is different. And the way I do tshuva and the way you do tshuva is different. Because I daven for my needs, you daven for your needs, I do tshuva for my sins, you do tshuva for your sins. So my tshuva and your tshuva are different. As Rav Amital points out, this is the meaning of David HaMelech's comment, Va'ani Tfila. Va'ani Tfila means that there's a human element that comes forth in Tfila that doesn't come forth in other mitzvahs. Mav'eh Zeh Ha'adam. You want to know the mark of a person? The fact that the person has the ability to ask. The person, Mav'eh Zeh Ha'adam. That reflects the individuality of a person. Tefillah and tshuva are similar because these mitzvos are mitzvos that show the type of person that you are. We know this from Chumash already. When Rivka comes to meet Yitzchak, so Yitzchak is out in the field, and according to Chazal, he's davening, and Rivka's blown off her camel. Right? She is like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Right? This is a holy person. How does she know? She knows because she saw from the way he davened. There was something special about him. There was something about this Yitzchak that he's not an ordinary person. They tell the story that both Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, that's Rabbi Charlap's grandfather, and the Nozir, they both came from communities that were not connected to Maran HaRav Kook. But they were both drawn to Rav Kook on different times, different occasions. And they were both drawn to Rav Kook because they saw Rav Kook daven. They saw the way this Jew, Actually, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was drawn to Rav Kook from the way he saw duchening first. But duchening is in Hilchos Tefillin, the Rambam. The Nazir was drawn by seeing a Shmona Esrei from Rav Kook. You could sometimes see a person and you could tell that this is an Adam Kadosh because of the way they daven. Their individuality comes forth in their tefillah. I remember right at the beginning when I was a student here in Yeshiva, so the first time Rav Aaron Lichtenstein came to Yeshiva, I think it was Jeremy Weider, commented to me, just watch him daven Shmona Esrei. There was something about it that you could tell it's otherworldly. It's not an ordinary Shmona Esrei. There is something very special. This is Ani Tefila. This is Maaveh Zeh HaAdam. The individuality comes out. And you could see from the face of certain people, when they're doing tshuva, you could tell that their tshuva is very different. The Mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, Reb David Krungglass, Zichrono Levracha, his Chodesh Elul, you could see it on his face. You could just... Rabbi Friend actually talks about this in one of his tshuva drushos, that he walked into the Beis Medrash the first time in Elul, and he could see on Rav Ritterman's face and Reb David's face that there's something different. There's something about tshuva and tefillah that highlights who the person is. And that's very special. That's a unique link between the two. We say this, by the way, in Ne'ilah. After hivdalta enesh mirosh, v'atakirehu lamod lefanecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated humans, and our role, v'atakirehu la'amod lefanecha. Our role is to daven. So that's another dimension. Ordinary prayer. Even if it's not prayer specifically about tshuva, but prayer and tshuva share this dimension that the individuality comes out. But of course, the more famous similarity between prayer and tshuva is the fact that both of them connect to God. Gidola tshuva, shemagash ad kisei hakavod, shomea tfila, adecha kol basa yavo'u. Both tfila and tshuva connect to God. Now, this actually has a double sense. We forge and we create our connection to God through prayer and through tshuva. And also we maintain our connection to God through prayer and through tshuva. They're both true. They're both true. And this idea is found in the Rambam, but Rav Soloveitchik made a very big deal about it. Both in tshuva and in tefillah, the Rambam speaks about the importance of Lifnei Hashem. The Rav commented in the context of tshuva that the Rambam's expression of Ana Hashem, right? What do you mean, please? Ana Hashem Chatasi, please I sinned? Right? The whole sentence doesn't make sense. The Rav said, no, you know what it means? Please, please let me in. Please let me come in front of you. And the Rambam, throughout Hilchos Tshuva, speaks about that you should be shav lifnei hakel baruch hu. Tshuva is in the presence of God. Vidoy lifnei Hashem. And in tefillah, we see this idea very clearly as well. Reb Chaim has a famous contradiction within the Rambam. The Rambam in the fourth chapter of Hilchos Tefillah sounds like Kavana in prayer is an absolute requirement. It's ma'akev. If you daven without Kavana, it's not davening. But the Rambam in Perek Yud of Tefillah says that only if you do not have Kavana in the first bracha, only then is it ma'akev. It's a contradiction in the Rambam. Is Kavana necessary throughout all of davening? Or is Kavana necessary only in the first bracha? By the way, Adi Al-Kadri points out in his doctoral dissertation on Hilchos Tshuva that if you accept what the Rambam has in Perek Dalet of Tshuva, where the Rambam says there's a difference between something that's ma'akev and something that's mone'a, so there's no stira in the Rambam. In other words, when the Rambam speaks about Chof Dalet that's ma'akev, it means it's harder. And the Rambam says that there are certain things that are ma'akev, tefillah, there are certain things that are ma'akev tefillah in the sense of kavanah is necessary. That means properly done without kavanah, it's difficult. Without it, it almost won't go, but it's not that you're not yotzei. It's not moneya. It doesn't prevent you from being yotzei. But be it as it may, Reb Chaim felt this is like a contradiction in the Rambam. And in a paradigmatic Reb Chaim, he says it's tzvei dinim. There are two types of kavana. There is kavana for the perish hamilim. There's kavana for the meaning of the words, which is a halacha unique to tefillah, only about davening. And kavana for perish hamilim, says Reb Chaim, that's ma'akev in the first bracha only. But there's another type of kavana, Reb Chaim explains. And there's kavana that you're omed lefnei Hashem. There's kavana that you're standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that kavana is ma'akev an entire davening. A famous Reb Chaim. Now, what Reb Chaim is getting at, and he writes this explicitly, is that if I daven, but I don't realize that I'm talking to God, that's misasik. That's not davening at all. Davening has to be lifnei Hashem. Tshuva has to be lifnei Hashem. It's the same idea. The same lifnei Hashem that the Rambam speaks about in Hilchos Tshuva is what is talked about in the context of Kavana. Now, this is an idea that I think many people would find hard, and the Chazon Ish actually felt that's impossible. The Chazon Ish wrote Gilyonos on Reb Chaim. The Chazon Ish felt, again, some of those who were close to the Chazon Ish said that the Chazon Ish really wanted to show that the brisker approach to learning is just incorrect. So to prove that the brisker approach to learning is incorrect, he took pieces in Reb Chaim and he decided to argue with them. So the Chazon Ish's arguments are all, and by the way, you could see a very nice summary of this in Benny Brown's biography of the Chazon Ish. It's only like 2,000 pages, published by YU Press. But he has a chapter on this Reb Chaim and Chazon Ish specifically. And the Chazon Ish says, it can't be that you have kavana that you're standing in front of God, because if you're also thinking about what you're saying, there's a contradiction. I can't be thinking about the words that I'm saying and also have an awareness that I'm standing in front of God, unless, the Chazon Ish adds, that the type of awareness we're talking about is what he calls a yediya keha. It's a weak sort of awareness, and that type of awareness, perhaps, is awareness that comes about before davening rather than during davening. But this idea that according to Reb Chaim, davening means the entire time I'm in front of God. According to the Chazon Ish, davening doesn't mean that I'm in front of God the entire time, but at least when I prepare for davening, I should feel that I'm in front of God in a more acute sort of way. And throughout davening, I have a yediya keha, I have a weaker, more attenuated knowledge that I'm in the presence of God. This idea, I think, sheds light on what lifnei Hashem by tshuva means also. Does the lifnei Hashem have to be that you're like the mashgiach with David Krumglass, that your entire face is blanched for a month? Is that lifnei Hashem? Or is the lifnei Hashem a little more manageable, more of a yediya keha type of idea? I think that's what the Chazon Ish would be getting at. I have to admit that I remember, Baruch Hashem, I had four grandparents. I think most of us have four grandparents. It's an interesting thing, but that's the way we are. Now, my mother's mother, Allah Shalom, lived with us for many years. And her last couple of years, basically the only thing that Nana did was she davened. She would start davening in the morning, and she'd keep on going. At some point, we'd have to say, you know, you have to eat a little bit. She just would daven, and if you'd ask her what she's doing, she would say in English or in some mixture of English and Yiddish, now I'm talking to the Eibishter. I'm talking to God. She understood intuitively this idea that Reb Chaim has, that tefillah is standing in the presence of God. This awareness that we are in front of Hashem, that's the essential element of tefillah. This Reb Chaim, by the way, is used lahalacha in the Sefer Emek Bracha. There's a famous Chaya Adam who speaks about if a person has a question in the middle of davening. So what you could do is you could walk over there to the shelf of the Hilchos Tefillos Sfarim and pull off a Sefer and look it up. Or if you don't know where the Sefer is, you could ask somebody. That's what you're allowed to do in the middle of davening if you don't know a particular halacha. The Mishnah Berurah of Paskin is like this Chaya Adam. I remember actually the first time I heard this halacha, I was in the 11th grade, Rabbi Kalish was explaining it to us, and he said that like a guy walked over to him and asked and says, you know, I'm in Mishmo Ne'esri and I have a shayla in the middle of about the davening, I skip this or whatever it is, do I have to repeat? Rabbi Kalish says, yeah, you have to repeat. So the guy started to argue with him. So Rabbi Kalish said, no. You're only allowed to ask in the Chayodam. It doesn't say you can argue. You can't argue. But the Emek Bracha goes a step further. The Emek Bracha says that the Chaya Adam is not true lahalacha. Because if Reb Chaim is correct, that davening means I am omed lefnei Hashem, I'm talking to God, so I can't be speaking to you. If I turn to speak to you, I'm not talking to God. Even if I'm asking a shayla about my davening, I'm not talking to God. And therefore the Emek Bracha feels that you don't paskin like this Chaya Adam. That's the chiddush in the Emek Bracha, based on Omeid Lifnei Hashem. The idea that tefillah has to be in the presence of God, something that we're extending to tshuva as well. There's a new sefer that came out in the Gush last year called HaTfilah Kimifgash. Moshe Shapiro in the library told me that there's not a single copy of it in any library in the United States. Fortunately, one guy in the Beis Medrash has a copy of the Sefer on his table, which I noticed one morning, and I picked it up, and he has good stuff on this topic. It's written by Ellie Tarrigan, and I forgot the other fellow from the Gush who wrote this. These are all the Talmidim of Rav Yatz Rimon, that they're trying to take halachic topics and flesh them out. Very, very fine Sfarim. Really very fine Sfarim. So in the book HaTfilah Kimifgash, he points out that the idea of the Chazon Ish is actually found in the Pnei Yehoshua. And not only is it found in Pnei Yehoshua, it's found in the Torah. The Pnei Yehoshua comments on the mission of Ein Omdim L'Hisbala on Mitoch Kovet Rosh. Pnei Yehoshua says, you know what Mitoch Kovet Rosh means? It doesn't say Bik Kovet Rosh, it says Mitoch Kovet Rosh. That means you have Kovet Rosh before you begin to daven. The seriousness is before you begin. And then, once you begin, you talk to God. But the same seriousness that you had beforehand, the same sense of awe, of trepidation, that's not what you actually daven with. That's what the Pnei Yehoshua says. It's very similar to the Chazon Ish, that this idea of being omed lefnei Hashem is true before you daven, not during the daven. If this would be connected to tshuva, obviously, so on a certain level, we'd understand why Yom HaKippurim can be the happiest day of the year. Because all the seriousness that we have, all the fear that we have is about that the day is coming. But once the day comes, so on a certain level, it's happier, it's more relaxed. The same type of idea that the Kovet Rosh is before you daven. But there's a tour that says something very similar to Reb Chaim, but it's also different than Reb Chaim. And this is also pointed out in that book, HaTfilah Kimifgash. The tour discusses what is Kavana. So he writes that Kavana means Sheyichavim Perish Hamilos. This is the tour in Siman Tzadiches. Have in mind what the words of davening mean. And then he writes, Yosir koha machshavos hatardos also, remove all of the thoughts that bother you, that trouble you. Achet yishar machshavto v'kavonoso zako b'tfila, v'yachshav ki'ilu hoya medaber lifnei ha-melech baruch hu. Right? That you remove all of your thoughts and then you make it like you're talking to God, etc. And then he writes, then the Torah continues, this is what the Hasidim HaRishonim used to do. When they would spend an hour preparing for prayer, they would be getting rid of all of the foreign thoughts from their mind to prepare themselves for prayer. U'mechavne b'tfilosan, ad shehayu magiyun lehispashtus hagashmius, ulisgabris ruach hasichlius achahayu magim karov lemalas hanavua. Fascinating tour. The Hasidim Harishonim, the early great people, the way they prepared for davening, they'd spend an hour focusing, meditating, until the point that they got karov lemalas hanavua. Now, this is similar to Reb Chaim, that there are two dinim of kavana. There's kavana of what the words mean, and there's also kavana of being aware of God. It's not similar to Reb Chaim in the sense that the second kavana is before you daven. But there's a fascinating insight in the Torah, where the Torah says that this idea of recognizing that we are standing in the presence of Hashem when we daven, that is something that is akin, something that's similar to Malas HaNevuah, something that's similar to prophecy. In davening during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we speak about Al Tashlichenu Mofanecha V'ruach Kodshecha Al Tikach Mimenu. That we pray to God, don't take away the Ruach HaKodesh that we have. Ruach HaKodesh is something that's similar to Nevuah. But who has Ruach HaKodesh today? Who has Ruach HaKodesh? They say that Rashi maybe wrote with Ruach HaKodesh. That's what they tell you in grade school. I don't know if it's true or not. That's what they tell you. But who has Ruach HaKodesh? How can we dive in Ruach Kodesh al tikach mimenu? Don't take away the Ruach HaKodesh from us. What Ruach HaKodesh they have? I'll tell you the answer. The answer is what the Torah is saying. The answer is that the kavana when I daven is kavana that I am standing before God, I'm preparing myself, and I get korov l'malas hanavuah, which is called Ruach HaKodesh, and the same thing happens when we do tshuva properly. When we do tshuva properly, what we are doing is we are recognizing the presence of God. It's so acute, it's so intense. Hashem is right in front of us. And that feeling that we might have on the Yom HaKippurim of being lefnei Hashem, that feeling is called Ruach HaKodesh. It's close to Nevuah. So we daven to Hashem, Ruach Kodshecha al tikach mimenu. That feeling of inspiration that we have, that intensity, don't take it away. Leave it with us. Let's let it stay with us. I hope that as we do tshuva, and as we daven, as we realize that Hashem is right here with us, Dirshu Hashem b'hi matzo, God is right here with us this time of year. We feel lifnei Hashem in both senses, because we're davening a lot, and because we're doing tshuva, that should stay with us. V'ruach kodshecha al tikach mimenu. Hashem should not take away that special Ruach HaKodesh that we attained. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Everybody, once again, nice to see the family. And thank you to the members of Rabbi Schwartz's family who have come as well. It's good to see you all. We'll daven Ma'ariv here now. And then, there are refreshments already available on the second floor. So now you have to choose between the refreshments and Ma'ariv. But the refreshments will still be there at the end of Ma'ariv at 9:15. For those who are spending the evening learning with us, the next year is at... the refreshments are right outside. Now it's a tougher choice. Okay. I want to... for those who are continuing with us for this evening, the next year will be at 9:45 by Rav Aaron Kahn. There'll be shiurim straight through until 12:42. When we will say Slichos. I just want to take a moment to thank Rabbi Zev Goldberg, who's a Rav from Fort Lee and a new member of our staff who took care of all the arrangements. We really appreciate it. And it's great to have you as part of the team. And thank you again. Gemar Sima Tova, everyone.